Good morning.
Good morning.
You look healthy here before us today. That was not always the case. Can you tell us your story?
Well, I was healthy, but about 12 years ago, I had an issue of blood that could not be contained. It made me feel rejected, which I was, made me feel unattractive. I felt like I lacked a value because my value is in being able to produce children, and I was not able to produce children. I just walked around feeling unclean at all times.
Where else had you gone for help?
Well, our physicians were influenced by the Greeks, balancing your four fluids of blood, phlegm, black, and yellow bile. Their practices included bloodletting, vomiting, baths, heating, cooling, and sweating. I tried it all. I used every resource I had, and nothing helped. You know, the Talmud lists 11 different cures for my problem. I tried all 11, and none of them helped. I did know that Jesus, with a word, could bring people back to life. He was called the good physician, and I had seen a lot of physicians. Some were good, some were bad, but none of them helped me. I tried a lot, and in the end, it just added to my sense of failure and my shame at having to interact with so many people and tell them my story over and over again with no result.
What did it feel like the day you stepped out your door to find Jesus?
I felt like he was my last hope. After 12 years of constant bleeding that left me physically, emotionally, and spiritually depleted, I had nowhere else to go. I felt like I had nothing to lose. And with each new herb, each new physician, I had gotten my hopes up only to have them dashed again. I had a little bit of hope left. And, you know, people love the story of the paralytic. Remember that story where his friends brought him in and they put him down the roof? I envied that story because he still had friends. He had people that would take him to Jesus. But for me, I just walked out my door that day hoping for a miracle.
So what did you want from Jesus?
I had a desperate desire to become ordinary again. I used to feel pretty. I used to look forward to my future. I wanted to have children. I wanted to be loved. All of that seemed gone forever without a miracle.
What gave you the boldness to approach Jesus?
Well, besides desperation, I knew that he was going to Jairus' daughter. She was 12 years old. She was 12. I'd had my bleeding for 12 years. I thought if Jairus could care for a little girl, maybe he could care for me too. And so I walked out. I had a desperate desire. I wanted to be loved, and all of that seemed to be gone without a miracle.
What went through your mind when Jesus asked the question, "Who was it that touched me?"
Well, I wasn't ready for that. I wanted to be so private. I didn't want to tell everybody my problem. I shouldn't have even been in that crowd because for people to touch me, for me to touch them would make them unclean. In a way, actually, I made Jesus unclean. I thought maybe I would, but that was impossible. Instead of my transmitting uncleanness to him, he transmitted wholeness and health to me. But when Jesus asked, I waited. And if you read in your Bibles, you see that's true. I waited. I didn't want to come forward. I didn't want to tell my story in front of everyone, but it was a step of faith for me to come forward and to stand before all these people that had shunned me and give my word.
There were so many people pressing in upon Jesus. Why do you think he healed you?
I've wondered that a lot. That's a good question. He didn't heal everyone. Everybody was pressing in on him. I'm nothing special. I don't believe that my faith was necessarily greater than that of others. I think it will forever remain a mystery to me who God heals and who remains with their suffering. I do know that a day will come, and it's going to be a good day, when there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. I know that day is out there for each of us.
Why do you think he told you to go in peace?
Peace is really hard to maintain. Peace is hard to maintain for 12 years. I have had to occasionally weep over my life, over the life that I'd hoped to live. I've had lots of time to grieve my losses. But eventually, I cleaned up. I chose to trust God and embrace the life that I have. I purposely clung to finding peace with God and union with him. I'm thankful that peace is a gift Jesus gave me.
What do you think Jesus meant when he said, "Your faith has made you well"?
I was really vulnerable to agreements from the evil one. Words like this, "It will never change. I'll never be loved again. I'll never be happy again. No one will understand me. I'll always be sad. The work that I did to renounce such lies from the evil one became part of my daily routine of faith." I guess that daily choice I made to live another day with hope and faith grew my faith.
Would you be willing to go through those 12 years again?
Well, let's zoom forward from my day and age to your day and age. You have adventure books where you can choose your own adventure, right? You can have the story go one way, or you can have the story go another way. In this, I would say to you all, you can choose how to answer this. Would you relive the suffering and the trials you've had? I know I'm supposed to say yes, but I would love to think that God would use an easier way to draw me near and increase my faith. I would not choose this. I will say that I do want to accept what he allows to come into my life. I might be willing, but I don't want to relive that time. That's one answer I could give you. Here's another answer I could give you, and I think that they're both just as real. That the sweetness of what I've learned in dark places was worth it all. I've learned things in the dark that I couldn't have learned any other way.
Thank you for sharing such a difficult story with us. Each of us at some point in our lives goes through a really difficult time, and your sharing your thoughts is really beneficial for each of us wherever we are in our life. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now I'll go back to being me and take off this garment, hopefully appropriately. Excuse me. Don't do that on stage much. Maybe Shane does. Clothes off and on. I'd like to take some time today to think about where this unnamed woman's story might intersect with your story. What I have for you right now are a lot of questions, and I'd like to go through some of the feelings as I talked with others and as I thought about some of the things that this woman might feel. I'm going to talk you through some of these. I think she might have felt resignation at times. She was just going to give up. I think it's pretty obvious that she felt shame, embarrassment. She felt dirty. You didn't have access to clean yourself in that culture in the same way we do. Unclean. She felt invisible. You know what? These are not gendered feelings. These are for all men and women. I spoke with a man last week who was in a meeting and just felt invisible. She felt worthless. If her worth was in having children, she didn't have worth. She felt spiritually depleted, abandoned, unimportant, exhausted. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Certainly she would have felt unattractive. I'm sure she felt afraid of the future. How long will I live with this? Will it just be like this forever? She felt unlovable, alone, rejected, cursed. You start wondering, like, why did God do this to me? You start asking that question. If a loving father, he wouldn't do this to a child he loved. You might ask that question. Hopeless. I think at times she felt full of faith. She felt unimportant. Maybe punished. Unwelcome. Maybe at times fearlessly hopeful. I'd like to give you a moment. There's some papers and pen there you can write down, or you can just ponder this in prayer for yourself. I'm going to take you through some questions, and I want you to pick the adventure, pick the question that sparks your interest at this point in time. Because again, I want to know how her story intersects with your story. You know, growing up as a young girl, I would hear stories of Daniel, I'd hear stories of Moses, I'd hear stories of Abraham. And I was always supposed to be able to transcend over gender, and I did. You know, well, I can be like a Daniel. I can be like a Moses. Men, I want you to wonder for yourself how you could be like this woman. Today. My first question for you, maybe take a minute to write out this question, is what do you want from Jesus? What do you want from Jesus? So often we're taught to be satisfied, but deep down we have desires, and they can be good desires. I want Jesus to draw near. I want to know his presence. So what do you want from Jesus? My next question is, how far will you go to be transformed? How far are you willing to travel? What obstacles are you willing to overcome to be transformed? This woman went far. It may not have been a far distance to get to Jesus. We don't know that. But it was a tough road for her to step out that door and find her way to him on that day. So how far will you go to be transformed? I think another important question for us to ask is, what needs transforming? What needs transforming? And we don't always know the answers to that, do we? It's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes what we see as the problem is not the real problem. You might say, you know what, I need to quit being an angry person. So that's one level of needing to have transformation. But maybe the deeper level is that you felt unnoticed and that nobody was aware of you. So you made your voice bigger for people to see you. That would be a deeper level of what really needs transforming. Another question I have for you is, what needs resilience? We Where do you need just to be resilient? In the book, When the Well Runs Dry, there's a statement that it is only when we come to love the desert and to prefer it to the oases that we are well on the way to God. It is an upside-down world, indeed. We can well be forgiven for forgetting, for refusing to believe we are on the right road when our throats are parched and our eyes are filled with sand. I think that's true. Sometimes on a hard road, we forget. We forget that God is with us. Another question I have for you is, where do you need comfort? God is not against comforting you. He loves to draw his children near and comfort them. It's not weakness for you, it's relationship. He wants you to be in his presence, feeling loved. Then, what agreements have you made? I had mentioned that earlier, but I'm going to circle back to that idea of agreements because I think it's pretty important. An agreement is believing a lie that the evil one has suggested. Something like, you don't deserve any better than this. You're not worthy of being loved. Actually, that the truest thing about you is your trouble. You are defined by your weakest problem. That's an agreement that you make. And then you believe those lies and you make vows. So a vow might be, everybody's against me. That would be an agreement. A vow would be, I will never trust anyone again. I will never ask God for anything. I had a family member with some health issues recently, and I said, if anything happens to you, I will be sad for the rest of my life. And after a day of living under that shadow of thinking, I'll be sad for the rest of my life, I realized that is a lie. That is an agreement I'm making. That is not the truth. I'll miss you for the rest of my life, but I'm not going to choose to be sad the rest of my life. So there's places in your life that you might want to look more deeply at. Where have you made agreements that have become vows and lies that have controlled your story? Can you trust in an overcoming God? In John 16:33, Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, actually, to look at these questions, and you may want to grab another card or flip it over. Maybe there's a question that God wants you to address in your own life. So let's take a minute to do that. I'm going to say some of those questions again as you're writing. How does her story intersect with your story? What do you want from Jesus? How far will you go to be transformed? What needs transforming in your life? What needs resilience? Where do you need comfort? What agreements have you made that have led to believing lies that have controlled your destiny. How might these agreements, lies, and vows you have made keep you from the life God wants you to have? For each of these words up here, I've given a word that I believe is a word for God's redeemed people. And where they're up in the top right, it says resignation. The word is resolve. These are the new words that I believe God wants to speak over us. I believe that what God wants for us is to know that we can be clean, we can be pure, we are seen. Bruce spoke about that last week with Elroy, when God spoke to Rahab, Hagar, and he said, I am the God who sees. You're seen, you are valuable, you are cared for, you can be spiritually filled, you are important, you can be energized, you are attractive in the way God sees beauty, you can be hopeful for the future, you are lovable, you are cared for. You are blessed. You are accepted. You are important. You are welcome. You are free. And you can be fearlessly hopeful. Take some time to think on those things this week. If God has more of a word for you, go back and think about these things again.